President-elect Joe Biden has said that upon taking office, addressing the climate crisis will be among his priorities. It's expected the U.S. will quickly rejoin the Paris Climate Accord and, through Biden's cabinet picks and the policies they're expected to develop, restart the greater effort towards a greener environment and economy. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, and our guest today is Dr. Richard Rood. Dr. Rood is a distinguished professor in climate and space sciences and engineering within the University of Michigan's School of Engineering. It is nice to talk with you again, Dr. Rood.
Thank you for asking me, and let's go.
As a scientist, how much are you looking forward to an administration where science matters once again?
I will have to say, looking through the Biden documents, the Biden plans, looking at the team that he has put together, the contrast between what President Biden plans to do as opposed to what has happened in the Trump administration is simply stunning. The level of expertise that he's put in, the level of experience and the thought that he's put across the agencies as a climate scientist and really as a scientist more generally has to be quite encouraged.
How far have environmental protections and longer-term sustainability been damaged over the past 4 years, in your expert opinion?
One of the problems we've had really over the last 20 years is we've been working through executive orders rather than through laws. And President Obama had made a lot of executive orders that were very good for climate mitigation of emissions, and Trump undid those. And that was expected. That's easily done, and it keeps this pendulum going of, good versus not so good for the climate. And, of course, following that, no matter which the president is, you get litigation associated with those. The thing that we really feared with the Trump administration were attacking some foundational environmental regulations, such as the Clean Air Act. And over the third and fourth years, they actually did a fairly substantial damage to various regulatory aspects of the Clean Air Act. And it's going to take a while to undo some of those.
Issues of the Environment in our conversation with Dr. Richard Rood from the University of Michigan continues on WEMU. The president is named as cabinet. The list includes Michael Regan as head of the Environmental Protection Agency, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm to lead the Department of Energy, and former South Bend Mayor and presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg as leader of the Department of Transportation. What are your initial thoughts on these selections to help lead the charge on addressing climate?
One of the things that strikes me about all these selections is their experience. They all have almost intuitively understanding that addressing the climate is really important in their jobs. Compared to a lot of what we've heard in the past, they understand that addressing climate change can also bring back jobs and lead to economic development. And aside from the ones that you mentioned, we have Deb Haaland in the Department of the Interior and Gina Raimondo for the Department of Commerce. And if you look at these folks and where they're coming from, they've been dealing potentially with issues on the coasts. They've been dealing with issues on the lands, tribal lands. And so they really, compared to any group of people I've ever seen before, you don't just have, here's the climate person. All of these folks understand the environment and have climate really as an integral part of their portfolio, of their behavior.
And so it is going to be vital to have an integrated climate policy that runs through all of those departments, in fact, all government departments, in order to succeed and move us forward in the timely fashion we need to go.
And there is going to be a very strong effort. If you look at Biden's, what I think he's called, climate21.org, if you look at that portfolio of activities which crosses all these agencies, you're seeing that there has been planning across these. Now, the real challenge is always in the government. How do you integrate these things into a program? How do you integrate these into activities that are not what a friend of mine at NASA used to call silos of excellence. And that is going to be a challenge. Now, you know, the strategy to address that seems to be in the appointment of what we have come to be called the government czars. So we have Gina McCarthy and John Kerry as the domestic and international czars. And the idea, of course, that we're going to be integrating these activities in the executive branch in the White House. And even with those very prominent people, this is an enormously difficult task because the way Congress works tends to fragment all of these things. And there's actually a lot of inertia in the system to maintain the fragmentation because it's the way people have learned to work and learned to succeed. So it's incredibly difficult to do this integration. But once again, they are trying to set it up such that they can do that.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Dr. Richard Rood from the University of Michigan about the climate crisis and climate policy on issues of the environment. Politics always involved. There's still a lot of climate change deniers in Congress. Where might we reach agreement between parties and better move the country forward on climate policy in this next administration?
Well, one of the things I think is exciting is that if you look at organizations like the Citizens Climate Lobby, which is very narrowly focused on mitigation through a climate tax type of policy, the reason I mention them is that they have been developing a lot of bipartisan consensus on the need to approach climate change. And so you are seeing within the Republicans and the Democrats the emergence here of the need to address this problem. And part of the reason you're seeing that is because of the perception that climate change disruptions are emerging quickly, especially along the coasts of the country. And so I think that we're getting this agreement that this is a problem that we have to address. And I think that's really important. And we do see some of that.
One of the arguments we always hear is that some of these measures are outside what the United States can afford. But it seems to me that we cannot afford to not make the investment today because the cost down the road will be far greater.
Well, absolutely. And the argument that we can't afford it, I think, is also a spurious argument. It is a huge challenge to change the infrastructure associated with fossil fuels, but you can look at various states around the country, and I think I saw that one of the fastest growing parts of the economy in Oklahoma is wind energy. And you can see, as you look at many of the Midwestern states, the growth of wind, you know, driving from Ann Arbor to Boulder, which I've done a few times over the last decade, one of the enormous changes to the landscape, the number of wind turbines. And I think that both it's a spurious argument that we can't afford it. I think it is, in fact, pretty well proved that making this change to renewables will cause a lot of economic benefit. But I am sympathetic to those who have jobs in fossil fuels and the need to make that transition in a way such that people are not suffering too much. In fact, Xcel Energy recently announced in Colorado that they were going to accelerate closing a coal power plant as well as training all of their workforce for the new energy economy.
As we wrap up our time together today, we often talk about hitting the tipping point where we can't adequately address climate change anymore and its impacts. In your expert opinion, how close are we to that tipping point? Some say we're already past.
Well, I would say with regard to some problems, we are past that tipping point. We are committed to an enormous amount of sea level rise, which is going to be very disruptive. One of the things I think is most important is to try to mitigate well enough that we can keep a lot of carbon dioxide and methane that's stored in the permafrost from being released as it melts. And I think we're very close to that tipping point. But I think if we look at how energy is accumulating in the environment, we have a lot of climate change that is going to be being dealt with for generations. I always say we are not going back to the past in the next few decades or small number of centuries. We just already committed to this warmer climate and it being warmer still.
Well, I think that is a good place to end for today and leaves us a lot of room for conversations moving forward. Thank you so much, Dr. Rood.
And thank you again, and you're welcome.
That is Dr. Richard Rood, a professor in climate and space sciences and engineering within the University of Michigan's School of Engineering. For more information on today's topic and to access the Issues of the Environment Archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's heard every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.